Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We got a fun show for you today talking about how do you create new relationships, truly a new relationship with your partner or with a friend or with anybody. What does it mean to actually create a real, vibrant, new relationship that actually works? You are listening to Mental Health Matters on KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial. We're really excited you're here with us today. As always, we want you to think about, we're just here to give you ideas, and you are empowered to create what works for you. We're just here to give you some alternative thoughts of, hey, there might be some other ways that might be interesting for you to consider when developing how to do something. So today we're going to talk about creating new relationships. And with us today is my great co-host today.
I'm Danielle McWilliams. I'm a graduate intern here with Scott, and I'm really excited to be here.
How excited are you?
Very excited.
You are excited today. All right. So today we're talking about new relationships. And we do these really interesting things called couples retreats. And restarting relationships. I think there's a website there, isn't there?
There is the ardentcenter.com website. Is that the one?
Yeah, no, but there's also a restartingrelationships.com,
okay.
I think. And .com or .org. And you could also find out some more information there if you're so interested. But if you want to email us, what's our email?
It is scott@ardentcenter.com. That is scott@ardentcenter.com.
If you've got ideas about any shows you want to do or comments about shows, or have some questions about this couples retreats or something else, you know, we're just here to give you ideas. We're not promoting anything. We're not saying do this or do that. Just coming up with different concepts. So this restarting relationships concept, which is a great term. Actually, my wonderful wife, Stephanie, came up with this idea of how do you restart a relationship? She, of course, is always more brilliant than I, but that goes without saying. Anyways, so we started square one, which is people are always coming in angry, pissed off. One partner or the other has always done something nasty. And they're caught in a vicious cycle. These are not happy couples retreats like a church retreat. What is that? Sing kumbaya kind of thing. This is more, you cheated on me, you S-O-B-U, whatever the initials are.
I would
are.
Say, yeah, you know, in the couples retreats that I've been so privileged to be a part of, it always starts out negative, but on the other end, always comes out positive, which is really wonderful to see. But it does, it really delves into...
Well, everybody's always coming at the point where... They're like this last one. They're coming there to talk about how to essentially get a good divorce.
Yes.
And what was unusual is that they're both on the same page of getting a good divorce. They're like both done. Most of the time, only one of them is done and they haven't told the other person. And they're reluctantly there to have somebody safe to say that. But, you know, they always come like that and they sit it. It's always funny visually because they always sit at opposite sides of the couches facing away from each other.
It's amazing to watch how throughout. And one thing too to mention about these couples retreats, they typically are like a weekend long, 2-day, 16 hours of really hashing out and finding new ways to restart a relationship.
Yeah. And sometimes we've had them as within a day.
Yes.
And we've also had them within 4 days. And we've had, 9 hours a day for 4 days and had three therapists there at all times. I mean, you create what works for you, but the concept is people are generally in a really bad state when they come. And they're coming in with this terrible story about what the other person has done to them to violate them, who they are. And so we start off by saying, the story isn't important. I'm a provocative guy, so I'm always trying to be a little provocative, and I'm saying, your story isn't important. It's important to you because you have given it meaning. But to me, who doesn't know your story, it has no meaning. you could also create a new story based upon a new meaning, a new way of looking at things. You don't have to be trapped in your own story.
I think it's important to realize everybody has a story. Everybody's gone through things. Everybody's experienced things. But that doesn't mean that we have to live in it.
Yes. Yeah. And it's true. We don't have to get trapped or live at our own stories. We could create new stories, new lives, new ways of being. And that's where we get our power back.
And especially when you think about in a relationship. So now not only do you have your story, but you have somebody else's story too. So rather than getting stuck in those, rather than living in all those, the guilt, the shame, the fear, rather than living in all of it, starting something new and restarting, recreating a relationship.
Absolutely. And I think it's really interesting thinking about the other person, that you're trapped also in the other person's story.
Mm-hmm.
But there's really three stories going on. In every relationship of two people, there's three people there. You, her, us. Or you, him, us. Mm-hmm. You know, depending on how we're doing it. Who are we together? Who are we separately? Right? And who, in each of us. And if you think about good sexuality, as we talk about, you know, what does it take? As Eamon says, it's, you know, a willing partner who's really interested in you for 5 minutes, but also, can you maintain your focus? And, you know, the other part of sexuality is that how do I connect to being with somebody else while stay connected to myself, while connected to who we are together?
In a sense, it's you don't want to get lost in yourself, but you also don't want to get lost in the other person either.
That's right. Because if it's all about the other person, then it's really boring and it's really doesn't work very well. Mm-hmm. Or if it's all about me, 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 and you're a narcissist, then it's like, okay, then that doesn't work very well. And if it's all about this grand us with fireworks flying through the air, you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, because then you're going to lose sense of reality.
Yes.
And you'll lose yourself and you'll lose the other person if it's just all about us.
So it's this balance. And that's what we keep coming back to, is hitting the reset button and creating a new balance. So let's look at what is the story doesn't matter. What do we want to create? And it's not that we ignore what was. We never ignore what was. But we look at what we want to do with what was to create something more powerful for our lives today.
So this is more of, Scott, you have this approach, this future-focused approach that you take with couples that you've found to be somewhat a positive approach with them, because it allows them to really hit that reset button and create something new for themselves.
Right, right. What do you talk about these four horsemen? And I jokingly say the four horsemen in my world is, you know, judgment, guilt, shame, remorse. But I say you probably have 40 more, you know, and we all have our four horsemen that come to destroy our worlds. And, you know, if you're focused on judgment of the other or judgment of yourself, which it often is, and we project it on the other, you know, you're never going to be happy. And you replace one face with another face, one body with another body. And that's how come it's never going to be enough.
Mm-hmm.
So people go through their lives trying to get their needs met through somebody else instead of getting, no, what am I creating for myself? And how do I empower myself to create my own stories, my own life, my own truth today?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Could you talk a little bit too about, like, with these restarting relationships, these couples, you know, they come in and it's almost like this near-death concept. Mm.
Yeah, that's always a fun concept, isn't it?
Yes.
Because it's like, if you think about it, you've now had the heart attack. And now you're sitting there in the doctor's office or at the hospital, and the doctor comes in, probably with a team of other doctors, and go, "Ooh, okay, this is bad. You almost died. You're really, really lucky you're sitting here today." And what's the doctor going to say to you? What do you think? Stop smoking,
yeah,
exercise.
Change your habits, healthy eating.
Healthy eating, meditate,
right.
Because you got to get blood flow to your brain, right? If the doctor is a little sensitive and understands how brain functions actually work, you need blood flow to your brain. You need to exercise. You need to meditate. You need to change your diet. You need to have proper supplementations because you don't get all the nutrition from the food that we eat anymore. This isn't the same as the same broccoli that you have today. Because of the conventional farming or whatever we want to call it, we're not going into politics here, does not have the same nutritional value that it had 50 or 100 years ago in any stretch.
So you get the doctor tells you these things and
right.
says
and
you need to
sleep.
And you need to make all these changes. You
right.
need to make all these healthy changes. The moment you hear the doctor say that, you have a choice.
Mm.
You get to choose whether you're going to make those changes or not. So you have that heart attack moment and you go to the doctor and they say, okay, here are all the healthy changes you need to make. And you decide, not gonna, don't care.
Yeah, well, I had one guy who actually smoked illegally in the hospital. Really, seriously. This is not made up.
So,
he had a death wish.
Yeah.
But most people give it a shot.
Right.
They'll start walking a little bit. They'll eat a little better. They'll do something until their old habits kick in.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that, they probably shouldn't do it, but their old habits are stronger.
And what ends up happening is, they maybe they don't get that second chance to restart, or they have another heart attack, and it just becomes this vicious cycle.
That's right.
It's the same thing in relationships.
It's a vicious cycle, a spiraling vicious
right.
cycle that just goes down and down. So you just live a continually diminished life.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, it's the same thing. But in the heart attack, there's also one other possibility. And this is really a small group, statistically, of people who have that heart attack who really get it. They're not just going to exercise. They're going to do a marathon next year. And they're going to plan and systematically build to that, not go out tomorrow and do it because they'll fall flat on their face after two blocks or one block. But they're going to build to it. They're not just going to eat healthy. They're going to create whatever Ayurvedic diet or whatever diet works for them. They're going to not just meditate out of some book or something. They're going to do the real thing, maybe transcendental meditation or something, which actually can get greater blood flow to the brain and actually create a greater transformation or whatever it is. Again, we're not focused on the tools. We're focused on how am I applying those tools so they work effectively for us. Exercise could be good or bad, as we've said in the past, depending on what we do with them. So we're not saying all exercise is good or no exercise. We're getting out of all or nothing thinking.
It's creating balance. It's back to that idea and that notion of creating balance. Too much, there is such thing as there's too much. The exercise, which is a healthy thing, but you become obsessed with it and you exercise too much, now all of a sudden it's become an unhealthy thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So you come up with what works for you, and what works for you today might not work for you tomorrow and certainly might not work for somebody else. What works for you and getting attuned to what works for you today. Okay, so just like that, in the relationship, we come back to, what works for you? And this could be with a friend. This doesn't always have to be a romantic relationship,
mm-hmm.
by the way. What is a healthy balance with you and this other person? So you're not codependent, where you're taking on your friend's or your partner's problems, or you're not narcissistic and having them just endure you, so to speak, until they get bored of you, It's what's a healthy balance for you? And if your life is full of drama and always creating intensity and always looking at people as black or white, good or bad, you're going to have difficulties in relationships. Your relationships will always be unstable because people don't exist like that. You're just seeing them as that. Or if you're always, codependency means I'm dependent on somebody being dependent on me. And if I am trying to get my needs met through somebody else, it means I'm also trapped in that somebody else. Or if I'm a narcissist, then who am I if nobody's looking at me? And then why would they want to at some point? It becomes really old. So again, balance.
Absolutely. And I think when we think about the concepts that, Scott was just talking about, it's almost like when you're coming back to this idea of restarting the relationship, you're readdressing the you, you're readdressing the me, and you're readdressing the us. And I think that's an important concept to remember, because in every relationship, there is a you, me, and us. And if you become too entrenched in the you, if you become too entrenched in the me, or if you become too entrenched in the us, it's not going to work.
Absolutely. I think another way to talk about that is this notion of knower known and process of knowing. And this is not my idea. This is Maharishi's idea. This is a famous old idea. And what's really fascinating about this idea is really looking at who am I, who is that other, and what is the process to work with or connect to that other. And we're always doing this dance, always, always. So who am I really at this moment? Who is the other person and really getting where they're at? And what is the best process or methodology? So, you know, in the last episode, we were talking about Schrodinger's cat, and I wanted to talk about physics and really get into this notion of quantum physics and, you know, some really cool notions of multiverse, but I made it incredibly overly simplistic and almost silly, that because who is my audience? Who am I talking to? If somebody doesn't understand what I'm saying, I need to have a way for them to get there, just like I need to have a way for me to connect to them and them to connect to me. By the way, you're listening to Mental Health Matters, KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial, Mental Health Matters. And today we're talking about restarting relationships, having a new way to connect to people. And we're just coming up with some fun ideas to start this conversation. And we'll have more shows about this later. So what's next on our list, Anna?
I think, you know, one of the things we haven't really talked about is how a lot of times we project onto other people. So, which I think, you know, you think of a lot of relationships when they come in, they're taking their own whatever inner turmoil it is, and then they start projecting that onto the other person.
Absolutely. Or another way to think of it is we get lost in ourselves.
Yes.
So I say this joke to people, only it's serious, I suppose, is that, so here's the joke. So get this as a joke, that I have been practicing as a therapist, as a licensed therapist for 24 years or something like this now. I have 2 master's degree, a doctorate, most of my second doctorate, postdoctorate. I have run a really large clinic. I was a professor for years. I run several different organizations, including one of the largest practices in the Midwest. Now, here's that part's true, but here's the joke sort of thing of it. And there's no ego to that. That's just whatever. I don't care in the slightest. Mm-hmm. But here's the joke. So I know more about couples counseling. I've been teaching this for years than most people around. Does that mean that I'm never getting in a fight with my wife?
Absolutely not.
You said I don't. Of course I don't get in a fight with my wife. And I'm sure my wife would always agree to that. And she would always agree that I'm always correct.
Yes.
No, of course not. Why do I get in a fight with my wife? And why is she often more right than me, which is infuriating?
Because it's easier. I mean, it's always easier to tell other people what to do. It's not easy to apply it to your own life.
Or I can't apply it when I'm not trapped in my own head.
Right.
When I'm clear-headed, I do know what I'm doing, and I'm not getting swayed and lost in other people. But when I'm lost because I'm feeling emotional, and I'm human, and I care deeply, that, hey, you know, I'm human. Mm-hmm. and I want to be human. I don't want to ever not be human.
Right.
You know, it's okay to be human. That's part of therapy, is about connecting to people.
Which I also think then kind of brings up this idea of like who we are individually and acknowledging who we are individually within a relationship.
Absolutely. And get that you can't be perfect. Mm-hmm. You're not here to be right. You know, I say this old phrase, you could be right or you could be happy. Pick one. Right? Stop trying to be right. Because it's not going to make your life happy. You don't get both.
I think you had mentioned something that I had heard earlier in the week. There's no right or wrong, especially in relationships, but there is a helpful and a not helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Or what works or what doesn't work.
Right.
And that what's frustrating is what works today might not work tomorrow.
Right. And couples do, and not just couples, but in any relationship, people, they do, they get lost in this idea of I'm right, you're wrong. And then it becomes just, again, you get sucked into these negative patterns and this negative behavioral cycle of, and then you lose who you are individually, which then makes it really difficult to be in that us piece.
Exactly. And so coming back to what works for you, getting to get that there really are those three components. Mm-hmm. Get to clear on who you are as a knower. What, you know, that you're disturbed, you're frustrated, you're human, just like all of us. And you're not thinking clear, or you're emotional, or whatever it is, you're clouded. Because we're all clouded every day. None of us are perfect. And who is the other person? Maybe you're clear-headed, but the other person's lost. Have compassion. We'll get you off, you know, more bees with honey than vinegar, right? Okay, so let's move on because we don't have a whole lot of time left.
So when we talk about that, who you are individually, then the next stage is then who are we collectively?
Who are we collectively?
And from there, it goes into kind of, you know, especially with this restarting relationships, it's creating new rules for the relationship.
Absolutely. Because once I get who I am individually, right, and I've decided I'm going to take this, as we've talked about, this future-focused approach,
right.
I am not in denial about what happened. If there's been an affair, then both people are responsible for creating that. Maybe one person did the stupid thing.
I think,
we don't deny that.
I do think that's kind of because you do get a lot of relationships where like an affair happens.
Yes.
And what ends up happening then is the focus becomes about this horrible, horrible thing that
this horrible person thing. Yeah, exactly.
When the reality is, I think you had said this to me once, that the marriage didn't die when the affair happened. It was already dead prior to the affair happening.
Almost always.
Somebody just went and did something drastic about
it. And sometimes it was the only way they could think to get out of it, and it might have been more painful, and it might have been wrong in the world, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean that it helps.
Right.
And the other person didn't have responsibility in seeing, they weren't seeing what was going on with their partner. They chose to be with that person who was going to have an affair because they weren't dealing with something within themselves or with the other person. Or there's some imbalance going on. And so stop the blame game. Stop the judgment and go, what do I want to create with my life now?
Right.
And both people have that individual choice. Mm-hmm. And then once they get that choice and they wake up out of that heart attack moment and they say, yes, I really get it. I want to do the right thing. And I want to get that old relationship is dead, buried, divorced, gone. Now what do I want to create?
And then it's
clean slate.
And then you end up, you create new rules for yourself, new rules for the other person, and then new rules
how are we going to be together?
Yeah, for us, for that us piece.
And then even another one for kids, maybe.
Absolutely. And I think it's also important to mention, you kind of started on this, but realizing that what was, whatever that, you know, you get a lot of couples that come in and it's like, oh, but we used to like be so flirty and 5 years ago and we'd go out, and it's like, okay, that's great. But that relationship doesn't exist anymore because here you are 5 years later, kids, whatever has happened in your life. So it's different now. And it doesn't mean it has to be a worse different, but it is different. And people have a hard time. Right. People have a hard time accepting
backwards.
That. Yeah,
that's right. Change is hard for any of us.
Mm-hmm.
We're such creatures of habit that once we got this new habit, how do you let go? And people stay in relationships long, long past they're dead. And so they're in emotionally dead relationships. You're better off being divorced, even for kids, by the way, if the relationship is truly dead and truly destructive and toxic, then you know, you're better off with two loving parents that are separate than being two miserable parents who hate each other and hate themselves together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, it's not ideal to do it that way. Right. Obviously, the ideal is to have some happiness and harmony with couples, right. And so we never get to that point.
Which is why, you know, it's so important that if it can, and if you can and are willing, then having that opportunity to try to restart the relationship is a great way. And it's, you know, especially with the creating new rules in the relationship, because it does. It allows you to, all right, we're going to let go of the past. We're not denying that it didn't happen. We're not denying it, but we're moving forward from it, and we're creating something new and something more meaningful.
Something more powerful, absolutely. And what is that meaning we're creating so our life could really move forward? What is it we need to allow ourselves to be so we can allow our partners to be who they need to be so that we can create something new together?
And what are the new rules that we need to create so that we can continue to live with each other and make this work for us? And it's going to be different for everybody.
That's right. And stop trying to relive your past. Your glory days are behind you. Mm-hmm. We don't need to be ashamed of that. We need to adapt to a new life. I often say the story that I think my grandfather died because he couldn't dance anymore. Mm-hmm. Because he's now in his mid-80s, and he can't drive, and he can't be that vital person that he saw himself as, this dancing, healthy man. And so then why is he alive? Instead of adapting to a new reality, that a greater purpose and something more that he can do with what time he does have. Mm-hmm. And I think all of us needs to get that for ourselves, almost regardless of a new relationship, to have a restarting relationship within ourselves and say, time for some new rules, not based upon the past. We learn from our traumas in our past. Every one of us has been hurt. Every one of us has had traumas beyond description. And it's not saying yours aren't valid, but do something with yours.
Right.
Do something.
And create something from it, and understand that what was is no longer, but that doesn't mean that something better can't come along. And what has happened, it's all just a part of the journey, and especially in relationships, it's just a part of creating something new and something more meaningful. And that's why this restarting relationships, it's, you know, we talked at the beginning about, you watch these couples come in and they're sitting opposite ends, like not even body language is reserved. And by the end, they're facing each other, they're holding hands, they're, you know, touching each other's legs. It's because they're becoming more aware of themselves, they're becoming more aware of the other person, and they're becoming more aware of the relationship. And it's a very much you, me, and us kind of experience that happens for them.
And, you know, you could do that. So, you know, yes, this costs bunches of money, and so it's certainly not for everybody. But you know what? You could start learning to do this for yourself. So take with the possibility that you're not trapped. All of us. Even if it's not the big trauma trap or the big terrible relationship, it's time for all of us to get to that next stage. And that's what our job is. That's about called being alive.
Absolutely.
And so, thank you.
Thank you.
And it's so wonderful talking to you today, and I'm so glad you're listening. And do contact us. We love hearing these emails and getting contacts from everybody and finding a way that we can even create a greater difference. And if there's some, like I said, show that you want or some event or something that we can do, let us know.
And if you do have any other questions about the restarting relationships, please contact us too.
Yeah, yeah. If not, I mean, like I said, you know, just to try and get some ideas for yourself.
That's whatever works for you.
Whatever works for you. All right. Well, thank you, Danielle. As always, you're wonderful.
Thank you.
And everybody have a great night. By the way, we broadcast Tuesdays at 6:30. We broadcast Thursdays at 12:30. All the shows, I've been told, will be re-archived on KRUU and at the Art and Counseling Center YouTube channel. So thank you, everyone, and have a fantastic day or night.
Thank you. Bye.